Blog Talk Radio.
Good?
Yeah.
All right. Everybody say, God, I just want to hear you.
God, I just want to hear you.
Musicians didn't say it, but that's all right.
Everybody that is fighting for the kingdom of God should stand up. Watch people, why should we sit down? Why won't we come together? Why is the division in the church? Why is it fighting? Why is it backbiting? Why can't we stand up?
Is it the reason for regression?
somebody spoke up and speak about reality. I'm on the battlefield for God and I don't need a salary. It's like I'm in the game and the devil keep on following me. Pushing and pulling and trying to take my joy away. It's like I'm on the track, me, cause sweat is dripping from my face. I gotta keep on going for my people. I'ma stand up no matter the situation, even when I'm fed up. Yelling till my lungs break, praying till my hands bleed. No ink in a pen, but I'm focused, ain't no stopping me. Yelling till my lungs break.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. We are excited to be here tonight, continuing our Revelation series. We want to welcome you, and we want to praise God for all of you that are listening tonight. We are excited. We are thanking God for his blessings, for all of the things that he's doing, has done, and is going to do. We thank you for joining us tonight on Prophecy Alive. I am Pastor Irvin Owensby, and I am happy, very happy, that we can fellowship with one another as believers. And I tell you, what God is doing in these days, it is something to behold. Why? It's because the revelation of Jesus Christ is being revealed to his people everywhere. And we are so excited for you joining us tonight. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this hour. We thank you for this day. We thank you for all things, for you've given all things to your people. We thank you, O God, for your spirit. We thank you for your love and kindness. O God, as we study your word, we know, O God, that you are with us. Teach us, guide us, O God. Open up our understanding, O God. In the name of Jesus, reveal to us, O God, what you will have for us and in our hearts, that we may share it to those that are seeking liberty. In Jesus' name, amen. To everyone that's listening out there, we pray for your families. We pray for your loved ones. We pray for you because God has a plan and his plan will be performed exactly how he planned it. Nothing can stop God for what he has planned for your life. Regardless of what others have told you, regardless of what others have said about you, what God says about you is the most important thing that you have in your life today. Why? Because if he says you are more than conquerors, then you are more than conquerors. If he says that you have the victory, then you have the victory. Regardless of the circumstances and regardless of what the enemy is doing right now, this day, you already won. Keep the faith. We are continuing on in the book of Revelation. We have studied the church of Ephesus, how the Lord spoke to them about the fivefold ministry, and how the Lord told them to remember from whence you have fallen. And the second church was Smyrna, how that name, the name of that church, represents bitterness and suffering, or how this church was more focused on their tribulation and poverty and did not know how rich they were. And the third church that we studied on, that the Lord has opened up our understanding on, is Pergamos, on how they had a mixed covenant, law and grace, how they tried to mix the law with grace. And the law cannot be mixed with grace, because what the law does is bring death, but what grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, which is life. Jesus said, I come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. So the Lord spoken to these churches, and on tonight, we're studying upon the fourth church, and that is in Revelation We're still in the second chapter. The second chapter in verse 18. Go with me to Revelation, the second chapter, in verse 18. Verse 18 reads, "And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou hast suffered that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols." Verse 21, "And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the rings of the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works." Verse 24, "But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burdens." Verse 25, "But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Amen. Now let's take a look at the verse 18 again. He starts out and said, "Unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass." Now let's look at the word Thyatira, the meaning, the name of this church. What does it mean? It literally means incense of affliction. Incense of affliction. The very first thing we see in the passage is that Christ reveals himself to this church as the aroma of the one who has already been afflicted. How? Listen to what Paul writes. "And walk in love, as Christ hath also loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior." So the Lord is presenting to this church as feet like unto flame, his eyes like unto flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. How he is presenting to this church, how he is the sacrifice. Let's get more deeper into this. Jesus revealed to this church, let's look at the eyes, like a flame of fire. Now, this is the very same description that we found later in Revelation. Let's go to Revelation, the 19th chapter. His eyes were as a flame of fire. We're starting at verse 12. "His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew, but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called, what? The Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now look at God brings our attention to his feet were like fine brass, as if they'd been what? Burned in a furnace. This particular image is identical to the one that we examined in Revelation, the first chapter. See, ladies and gentlemen, outside of the revelation of Jesus Christ, no real change can come to his church. I pray that our eyes and our understanding be open to this truth, ladies and gentlemen. Let's look at this image real quick. Let's go back to the tabernacle of Moses. Now, in the tabernacles of Moses, there was three dimensions, and there were things contained in these dimensions. In the outer court, there was what? Brass. In the holy place, there was gold. And in the most holy place, there was even more gold in that place. These three distinct dimensions reveal Jesus Christ. If Christ were to, now use your imagination, your mind, if Christ were to recline or lay backward over the tabernacle of Moses, you would find that his head of fine gold would rest in the holies of holies. And his feet likened to brass, fine brass, would lay in the outer court. Do you see that? God told Moses how to fashion the tabernacle, and it matches exactly to what John saw, the Son of Man, the Son of God. This is a revelation. Why did Jesus use brass when speaking of his feet? Brass symbolizes, ladies and gentlemen, get this, judgment. And why is it at his feet? It's because Jesus walked through the furnace of affliction and the fires of divine judgment to secure your liberation and your redemption. The outer court had a brazen altar and a brazen laver. The brazen altar was where the sacrifice was offered up to the Lord and where God's judgment was given out. Christ is revealing himself to the church in Thyatira as the one who met all the judgment of the law. He is the one who stands before them and shows them his feet like fine brass, which have been refined by the fire of furnace, the fire of judgment. This brazen altar is an Old Testament picture showing what happened at the place where the blood of Christ was shed and the sacrifice of sin was made for you and me. The brazen altar, the brazen laver, is the next station, and it speaks to us of water baptism. The brazen altar represents the sacrifice, and the brazen laver represents baptism. Baptism is an identification of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. When you are submerged into water, it's a representation of you telling heaven and earth, I was crucified with him, and I am now being buried with him. It's an outward showing. But when the Holy Ghost, when you are filled with his Spirit, then you are baptized by his Spirit. Therefore, it's an inner baptizing. It's an inner showing. This understanding brings us to the verse of Revelation 2 and 19, which says, he said, I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works and the last to be more than the first. Now, this is very significant. The first thing he told the church of Thyatira is that I know thy works. And then later at the end of this passage, it says again, and thy works. Then he said, and the last to be more than the first. So in other words, the first work and the last work, there is a level of comparison there. Because he said the last to be more than the first. So the last work, which he mentioned, is more than the first work. What is the representation of the first work? It represented their labor. It represented all that they can do. It represents their toil, their struggles, their tribulations, their trials, everything that they was able to accomplish as to pleasing to Christ. But the last work is more than the first. In other words, it's the work of love. It's the work of love. Remember what he told the church of Ephesus, the first church. He said, do the first work. He said, because you have left your first love, remember, do the first work. What is the first work? Love. Because Adam and Eve loved God, their relationship with God was not based upon their works. It was not based upon how good they are. It wasn't based upon how spiritual they are. That's why he told them, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because when you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, then it is you that decide what is good, and it is you that decide what is evil. So he said the latter is more than the first. Praise God. Now we're going to get into the subject of Jezebel. But before we do, I just want to draw your attention to something here. See, when the authentic gospel is preached, when the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached, it reveals the righteousness of God from faith to faith. It doesn't reveal bondage. It doesn't reveal hindrance. Whenever you are in a situation to where you are not allowed, quote unquote, allowed to exercise the gift that God has placed in your life, then you are under a spirit of Jezebel. You are under a spirit of bondage. But when the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached, not the gospel of me, not the gospel of preaching about yourself or what someone did to you, but the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached, then you will begin to understand that you have been made the righteousness of God in and through Jesus Christ, not based on your own performances, but based upon his holy sacrifice. You see, the Old Testament righteousness was based on works and your ability to perform and to keep the commandments of God. But the New Testament righteousness is based on the sacrifice of Christ. It is called a gift. It is called a gift. I believe this is the incense, the savor of incense, that the Lord wanted the church of Thyatira to understand and to embrace. Remember, God has already smelled the incense, and it was sweet to his nostrils. Through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And as the revelation is breathed in, the works also are breathed out. Look at James 2 and 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. But show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Let's move on. Revelation 2 and 20. 21. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. He's speaking to the church of Thyatira. I have a few things against thee, because thou hast suffered that woman Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. following the revelation of himself to this church, ladies and gentlemen, of Thyatira, he begins to address their problems. He tells them that he has something against them on how this woman by the name of Jezebel has seduced God's servant to commit fornication and to eat things offered to idols. He also wants people to see and repent of fornication, but before we get bogged down into thinking of some acts of physical fornication, let's examine exactly what he means. First, let's look at the fact that this church is being ruled by a woman named Jezebel. Now, no one is saying anything against women ministry, because God will use who he wants to use, whether there's no male nor female. But this is something here that the Lord is speaking to this church. The fact that Jezebel is a woman is not the problem. Listen closely. The fact that she's a woman is not the problem. The problem in Thyatira is what Jezebel is doing and how her influence is causing them to do those things that displeases the Lord. I'm certain that God would have been just as much displeased if Jezebel had been a man. This is a certain spirit, and that spirit comes to control. It comes to not only to control, but to tear up unity while preaching unity. That's why the scripture said Satan is the author of confusion. See, when we think of confusion, we think about a fight. Oh, that's just confusion. No, it is much more subtle than that. What Satan does is bring to you the opposite of what really is behind the scene. You see, confusion comes from the devil. Why? It's because he may come in the form of wanting to bring unity, but in reality, under the table, behind closed doors, he brings destruction. He brings division. He brings hatred. The spirit of Jezebel also seeks to diminish your role in the church, or in the body, should I say. So what it is that it is a manipulative spirit. It is a spirit that causes one to even doubt that God ever called them. Why? So they can be controlled. And the spirit of Jezebel doesn't do it alone. That spirit of Jezebel needs an audience. It needs a support base. It needs to convince others to think exactly how he or she may think about you or about another person that's walking and moving in the spirit. The spirit of Jezebel will always bring confusion, but it will always point the finger of confusion towards those that it's abusing. And if you don't watch it, it will use its influence and its works to overshadow your mind where you can't distinguish what is true and what is a lie. Here's one of the traits of a spirit of Jezebel. It makes you doubt truth. It makes you doubt authenticity. It makes you doubt what is of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take a break at this moment, and I want you to prepare to get your pencils and papers, and I want you to be ready. We are going to take notes, and when I return, we are going to talk about the 28 traits of the Jezebel spirit. I will be right back.
Blog Talk Radio. No matter how hard it is, I want you to keep going.
Things will get better. Why can't we stand up? Why can't we stand up? Why can't we stand up? Only Blog Talk Radio.
You know, it may have been suggested to you for some reason or another that you lack many important things in life, like education, that you should have been born privileged. You may have agreed with these suggestions that may have been a block to you, you feel. You may have trusted in those negative words given to you by society, media, or even family. However, I want to tell you this. You absolutely, definitely lack nothing. The greatest lie that's been told to many is the suggestion of lack. If you believe you lack these things because of what you don't have, then let me say to you, the only thing that you lack is unbelief in lack itself. Romans 12 and 3 says that we have been given the measure of faith. Not simply a measure, but
Blog Talk Radio.
Glory to God. Glory to God. We are so excited. Thank God for the Revelation series. Thank God for you joining us. We are continuing on to the 28 traits of a Jezebel spirit. And we're reading of the church of Thyatira on how the Lord hated and suffered, had something against this church because they suffered that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce the servants of God to commit fornication. If you got your pens and paper ready, these are the 28 traits, and I'm sure you could probably, after reading this, can find more, but I want you to write this down because this is something that needs to be not only taught, but exposed. Jezebel is a spirit, but it finds access through the church and through leadership in the church. What is the first trait? It refuses to admit guilt or wrong. A Jezebel spirit is never wrong, unless, now, however, it is a temporary admission of guilt to gain favor with you. A Jezebel spirit would never admit they're wrong unless it makes them look spiritual or make them gain favor in your eyes. Why? To accept responsibility will violate the core of the insecurity and pride from which it operates. It has insecurities. Even the very fact when you show up, it begins to get trouble because of insecurity and the pride, because it operates that way. When a Jezebel apologizes, it is never true repentance or an acknowledgement of wrongdoing, but rather, I'm sorry your feelings were hurt. I'm sorry if you were offended at what I said. I'm sorry if you got upset. No, that's not an admission. But what is it? It is trying to gain favor in order to gain control. The second, it takes credit for everything. One of the strong traits of a Jezebel spirit is to never take responsibility for his wrong actions or behavior, but he's also quick to take credit from benefiting for which he contributes no effort. In other words, it takes credit even while it had help. It seeks to diminish your part and your help and your work and put it under his work or his feet. It seeks to diminish your value in the eyes of others and seeks to exalt his or her values above everyone else's. That is another trait of a Jezebel spirit. A third one, it uses people to accomplish its agenda. It lets other people do its dirty work. If a Jezebel gets another person's emotions stirred up, then lets that person go into a rage, then Jezebel sits back looking innocent, saying, "Who, me? What did I do?" That is a behavior of a Jezebel spirit that seeks to bring confusion but sits back and doesn't take responsibility for his or her actions. This behavior makes it very difficult for even the most earnest truth seekers to even be able to go forth in their calling. So the Jezebel spirit is very clever in its agenda. Number four, talks in confusion. It is impossible to converse with a Jezebel logic. It's impossible to converse with someone who has the spirit of Jezebel. When you confront a Jezebel spirit, the subject may be changed 5 times in 1 minute. Confusion keeps them undiscovered and unexposed. The fifth trait, it volunteers for anything while at the same time criticizing it. Number six, lies. A Jezebel spirit lies very convincingly. No one can lie better than someone that has a Jezebel spirit. He could turn on the charm and make you feel as if you're the most important person and you're the one that's needed, but he always fools them when he's just met while with a certain conflict when you begin to disagree with him or her. Then they begin to act victimized so they can appear to be helpless. The fact that Jezebel can look you in the eye and lie just shows how strong an amendment this rebellious spirit is. It ignores people. Trait number seven, it ignores people. A classic ploy of a controller, listen, ladies and gentlemen, a classic ploy of a controller is to ignore or not to acknowledge you after you disagree with him. A Jezebel spirit will do what? It will seek to make you an outcast, even quietly, so that you would not be able to plead your case before the body because it needs you out of the picture so it can spew its words of lies and manipulation. This tactic is frequently used by leaders when someone disagrees with them, doesn't agree with them, and their plans. So what they isolate the person and forces others to ignore that very person. That's the spirit of Jezebel. Some of these situations have been ignored for months, even years, just because they chose not to be a puppet and say and be for them at every whim. In other words, when you choose not to be a puppet for Jezebel, you break out of that control system. What it does is seeks to isolate you and cause others to look negatively upon you. That's a Jezebel spirit. This puts the person that they isolate, forces them to not feel comfortable to even come around. That's when somebody that's in the church should be able to stand up and say, this is not right. This is not the Spirit of God. You can't isolate people. You can't make someone an outcast simply because they disagree with you. Trait number 8, never gives credit or show gratitude. Jezebel's spirit will rarely acknowledge another person's action, not even for something that turns out to be greatly benefit to him. He just can't, he or she cannot bring themselves to even acknowledge that someone else did something right that they didn't do. You see, there are those who have been gone, that have went out of their ways, ladies and gentlemen, to please a Jezebel spirit, working hard for him. Yet never will they be any acknowledgement of it if you disagree with it. Why? This, again, puts the controller in a power, in a position of power. Number 9. Criticizes everyone. This is another characteristic of a controller. He has to be the one that looks good. I hope you're writing this down. You need to identify what that Jezebel spirit is. He has to be the one that looks good. He has to be the one, only one, that speaks. He is the only one that has something to say. And yet you should listen to. That's a Jezebel spirit. He will sharply criticize anyone who makes a suggestion or a plan that he didn't come up with. Even though he likes the plan, he can only criticize it. Why? Because the idea did not originate. Criticizing others elevates the controller in his own mind. In his own mind. A person, and this is what I call number 10, a one-upmanship. A person with the Jezebel spirit will always upstage another person. He feels threatened by anyone who dares to steal the limelight or anyone who is a threat to his power and control. If anyone stands up in church and begin to speak the truth, he gets threatened. He gets angry and begin to attack. That is the spirit of a Jezebel. Because the threatening, he feels threatened to his power and control over the minds of those that listen. The Bible said faith come by hearing, and hearing the word of God. A person with the Jezebel spirit do not want you to hear anything else but what comes out of their lips. Why? Because if you begin to listen, then you begin to get faith. And if someone else is preaching the word of God, you'll draw faith, and you'll be able to break away from their grasp and from their control. Number 11, sequester of information. A Jezebel loved to be in control of information. If there is ever situation where information is important, he will push to be the first to know it. He seems to know everything about everyone. Where he gets all his information is beyond comprehension. He don't even know. But he can dictate to you data and details about people's lives and actions in a whole lot of mass quantities. It's called judging. Number 12. He uses information against you. He or she uses information against you to leverage their power over you. This gives him or her a sense of power. 13, talk excessively. Many people talk habitually, but a Jezebel spirit uses talking as a form of control. In a typical conversation, he does all the talking, whether it is about sports or whether it's about music, whether it's about the kingdom of God. Why? Because of this is a form of control. He is unable to receive input from anyone else's life because he, again, seems to believe that he knows your life. All conversations with him is always one-sided. You are always doing the listening. They will always control a conversation. 14, spiritualizes everything. When a controller is confronted, he commonly spiritualizes the situation, explaining it off on God. When he does something to you that's abusive and something that is wrong, he would explain it, well, maybe this is what God had planned, led me to do, to bring you into a better awareness. See, this prevents him from owning up to his responsibility that's required of him. The implication is always, you've got a problem, I don't. I remember one time the Lord told me to go to a certain man and to give him this message, when thou killest, when thou sayest thou shalt not kill, do thou killest. When thou shalt not steal, do thou stealest. When I came to him, and this was a message from God, this person, which has a Jezebel spirit, said, well, God knows my heart and knows that I don't do those things. That is a Jezebel spirit. So it always explains things off rather than own up responsibility. 15, Jezebel never takes the side of a person in authority unless it is temporary action to make himself look good. He often will take credit for someone else's idea. 16, is pushy and domineering. A person with a Jezebel spirit, ladies and gentlemen, pressures you to do things seemingly ripping from you your right to choose or make decisions for yourself. In other words, a person with a Jezebel spirit will say, do not fellowship with this person. Do not call that person. Do not talk to that person. That is a Jezebel spirit because it tries to take control to where you can't make personal decisions for yourself. You see, you can't allow anyone to make you or control you to the point to where you treat others based on how they want you to treat them. Because they have a problem with someone, they want you to have a problem with someone. That is a Jezebel spirit. But what you have to say within yourself, ladies and gentlemen, and this is the reason why the church of Thyatira, the Lord had this against them, you have to say within yourself, I got to give an account on how I treat someone, not how you want me to treat someone. 17. Is clairvoyant. Many who operate in the spirit of control also have a clairvoyant spirit. The Jezebel has a supernatural help in knowing and sensing information. If he uses this against you, he may say, I can't tell you how I know this, I just know. This is not the Holy Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, but of a familiar spirit. It may be defined as power to perceive things, but in reality, it's a familiar spirit. So the main thrust of a Jezebel spirit is to use control. Uses the element of surprise. That's another trait. A Jezebel's main thrust is to be in control, and a large part of that control is catching you off guard. Therefore, the elements of surprise works well with the spirit on a daily current. Now, this is a big one, what I'm about to tell you, the 19th characteristic, sows seeds of discord. A Jezebel will continually belittle another person in the midst in a subtle way. It will continue to cause others to look at others and belittle them in a subtle way. The strategy is to gain control by minimizing the value of another person. It is common for him to tell half-truths to implicate another person's in your eyes. By sowing these seeds, he hopes to eventually reap a harvest of destruction and improving his position of power. Praise the Lord. This is very important. Very important for us to understand that it's a very controlling spirit. We have 20. We have 8 more to go. It commands attention. A person with a Jezebel spirit commands attention. A Jezebel likes to be the center of attention at all times. It doesn't like to see others recognized before him or her, unless they choose to recognize him. When someone else is recognized, he will quickly undermine that person's accomplishment verbally. 21, is vengeful, like to take revenge. Since a Jezebel is never wrong, if you contradict or confront one, get ready to become his worst enemy. As long as you are in agreement with him, all is fine. But if you confront or challenge him, then look out. You are a target of his most fiercest venom. So a Jezebel will stop at nothing to destroy your reputation. Praise God, we have a caller. Caller 7, area code 7089, area code. Caller 7089. Are you there?
Yes, I'm
press
here. Praise
one.
The Lord. Hi, how are
praise
you?
Praise the Lord, sister. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I'm blessed. I done ran into a lot of those Jezebel spirits, and they still operating, but I just thank and praise God for the blood, because no weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Give us your testimony, sister.
God has delivered me from several things, abusive marriage. I was on drugs. I was on alcohol. God has delivered me from 8 operations, delivered me from church hurt. I was homeless, under control of a pastor that was Jezebel. It could be a woman or a man,
that's
you
right.
know, and dealing with depression. I went back out into the world and got entangled with the wrong people, you know, getting high, smoking weed. And God delivered me from that. They also turned on me, you know, because I wouldn't come into agreement with these people. But I just praise God for being free on today.
Yes, praise
Amen.
God. Amen. We thank God for your testimony. Let me ask you one question.
Yeah.
What was it that caused you to recognize that particular spirit? What was the thing that opened your eyes?
I had went to hear Prophetess Byron come one night. We went to hear him, and he was praying for all of that. And he said, once you leave out the service, you will no longer be the same. And he was just breaking off all type of witches and warlocks and controlling spirits and everything, and it just opened my eye. It just opened my eye. Yeah.
And you didn't turn back.
I didn't turn back. I forgive them. I love them. But I won't be in fellowship and running behind them no more. You know, and dealing with a part of depression, you be looking for acceptance. And a lot of people didn't know how to deal with me because of my illness. But God did. And people took advantage of that, even in the church. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
My son had went to prison.
True.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
My son had went to prison, and I was hurt, and I didn't know how to deal with it, and I was angry and, you know, was looking for help in all the wrong places. I just had to learn how to seek God and not man.
Yes. That is, I'm so glad you said that, sister, because so many people are dealing with that very thing. Mm-hmm. You see, what the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty.
Yes.
And what he does is he sets you at liberty, and God freed you. You know, there's some people that have been under that Jezebel controlling spirit to this day and do not
yes.
know it.
Mm-hmm.
But what we got to do is continue to pray. You must forgive. Because
yes.
what happens is that most of your deliverance is in forgiveness.
Yes, it is. Amen.
You can't truly be delivered unless what the enemy is doing be exposed.
Yes.
And we praise God for your testimony. We thank God for his liberty and his spirit over
yes.
your life. Father, bless her in the name of Jesus. Continue
yes.
to guide her, oh God. Continue to speak to her, oh God. And we thank you, oh God, for this, your daughter. We praise you for allowing her to bless us this night. Oh God, we thank you for her fellowship. Oh God, for this encouraging to me and to all those that are listening. Bless her, oh God, in the name of Jesus and her house. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, sister.
God bless you, man.
God bless you. You have a blessed evening. Amen. You see how God is opening the eyes of his people everywhere. Caller, area code 708-6. Praise God. Are you there? Caller 708, are you there?
Praise God for the message on tonight, brother.
You sound familiar.
Yeah, because this is your cousin. This is the Lord.
Praise God, Lord.
Yes,
so
I thank God for the word. Thank
God
for the word on tonight. I've been sitting here waiting to tune in, and this young lady just before me called in, and I was just thanking God for her testimony and wanted to let her know to stay encouraged. We all deal with Jezebel. Jezebel
right.
is in and out of our life each and every day, one way or another. We just have to learn to recognize it. I myself work with a Jezebel spirit, and I never could understand or I didn't know what name to put on it until you started
mm-hmm.
giving the definition. See, a lot
mm-hmm.
of us don't know what we're dealing with.
That's right.
A lot of times in the churches, they make us feel that Jezebel was just a woman of a certain sexuality, I should say, or she
uh-huh.
was a whoremonger, so to speak.
But we
didn't get all of this food that you spread out on the table on tonight, and
oh,
I sat there and I listened, and I'm like, that's it. That's it. That's what I've been dealing with. I'm like,
praise
oh, Lord. But
yeah.
you know, even though I didn't know the name to put on this individual spirit,
mm-hmm.
But I just knew that they was chasing me all the time. They
yes.
would come to me every morning. And I knew I'm a standoffish type person to certain people. And
right.
I just couldn't quite get a handle on you, like, you know, as the world say, okay, what you working with? What you coming at me
yeah.
with?
Yeah.
You know, if I said the sky is blue, she said, oh, no, it's going to storm. If
That's
I said
right.
the sun is shining, oh, no, it's going to be cold today. If I
yeah.
said God is good, oh, honey, he better than me. It didn't matter what.
That's right.
You, anyone said they are very confrontational. They are stubbornness in them, and they the wickedness. If you look, you will see the wicked.
That's right.
And I just want this young lady to know, yeah, Jezebel out there, yes, is in men and women. And guess what? This Jezebel in my workplace is a preacher.
Uh-oh.
That thing would work with me so bad because knowing I fear God.
Yes.
I have sense enough to know You don't play with God. And I
That's
look
right.
at you, I watch you. You tell those that don't know about God. When they get in trouble, you ready to lay hands on them. But those are wicked hands. And
That's
it makes
right.
me, it makes me just want to, just I don't know, just wanna, I just want to scream. Like, stop, don't touch. And one day this devil walked up and asked me to come and lay hands with her on someone else. And I said, no. I said, sister, what's wrong? And the young lady began to talk. I said, what you need to do. She couldn't understand what she was feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I feel trouble. And she was sincere. She said, I don't know what it is. I feel like something's wrong, and I don't like. I said, when you're feeling like that, you need to go into your closet.
That's
God's
right.
trying to talk to you. He didn't tell me to come and lay hands on you, but he told me to let you know it's
Amen.
Time for you to go have a conversation with him. He wants relationship with you, and that's what
yeah.
we have to do. Not be so quick to put, because these spirits transfer.
They do.
And I was not about, because knowing what I knew about this unnamed individual, unnamed spirit that was dwelling
mm-hmm.
in this individual. See, you
mm-hmm.
can't, you can't, you can't throw out, oh, I'm a minister, because I said I'm an evangelist. Oh, well, I'm a minister. Oh, are you? But you curse more than any heathen
yeah.
in here. You sleep around as much as you want to, and you talk about this to the people in the place, but yet
mm-hmm.
then when they feel like they're in trouble, you want to let, that's a dangerous spirit.
It's a
and
very
then they
dangerous
always
spirit.
Look up at me to see what is my reaction going to be. And to me, the way I feel is I'm standing toe to toe with the devil.
Amen. That's right.
With a smile. They are smiling at me. It's like, okay, what you going to come with? And so I've been wrestling with this and praying and saying, Lord, I want to be right.
Yes.
I don't want Lois. See, Lois will mess it all up.
That's
she'll mess it all up. She'll send this soul straight to hell, and that's not what I want. I want to see Jesus.
Yeah.
I want to be pleasing to him. So what happens? The spirit will shut you down.
That's right.
And if you be
that's
obedient
right.
to the spirit and say what? Let God fight this battle.
That's right.
He it's already been won. I ain't got to go toe-to-toe. I just want that young lady, if she's still listening, I believe that she is, because this word was not only for her but for me, and this word that I'm saying to her now is not only for her but also for me, that we
yeah.
have to keep that ear. When
yeah.
the world call it, well, you know, you something. I don't call it something, because I know the voice of God.
That's right.
So we
That's
need
right.
to recognize who's speaking to us.
Amen.
And he won't tell us nothing wrong. All we got to do is be obedient. Yes, it frustrates me. It angers me. And I don't want to do the Moses either.
I know.
I don't want to do what Moses did. Moses was a man who loved God. But
yes,
yet he got so angry with the children of Israel that he did what? He sinned. He said, yeah, we can get angry, but don't sin.
That's right. That's right.
But if we allow that Jezebel is in your presence to make you strong. You use that for God's glory. You hear what I say? You use it for God's glory. Because
yeah.
for every test that God gives us, guess what? It's a testimony to save not just us, but someone else. It's to let someone else, they nothing, the devil ain't got nothing new. He ain't got nothing new, baby. All
right.
we got to do is believe God and say, Lord, you order my steps. Lord, you speak
yes.
out of my mouth. Lord, you take this clay and you work this thing and make me
yes.
anything you want to make me.
Amen.
Why?
That's
because
right.
You already did my battle. You got on the cross at Calvary for me. You laid down. You said you took the whooping.
Yes. Yes.
You took the bed of thorns on your head. You let your blood flow. And because of that, that was my battle. He fought it. He won it when he got up on the third day and he rose and he got come up out of hell with the keys in his hand. He said, I got all power. Therefore, that is my fortress. I don't have to fight you, Jezebel. I kept wondering, what is supposed to get in my face? And she gets like in my comfort zone. You know, you know, you get in a person's comfort zone, you might get punched.
Yeah,
and she gets there, and she gives me this smile. I can just look in her eyes, and I can see the devil himself saying, hey, I got something for you. Bring food to you. Hey, I got this here I made for you. Here. No, I don't eat your food.
Mm-mm.
I said,
no.
Where I would go, baby, and I'd be chewing and talking. See, God shut me up on that. I take it, and I dispose of that.
That's right.
I take it with a smile. Thank you very much for thinking of me, because I'm still praying on you. I'm praying on you. I'm praying that devil up out of you, preacher. I'm praying that devil up out of you, because he has put blinders on you. See, just because we confess salvation, it's more than just confessing it. You got to walk in this thing with authority.
Amen.
You got to live it. You cannot just say, I'm saved. Okay, that's the beginning. When I start making my cake and I get my butter just right, and I add all my, it ain't a cake until it come out the oven.
That's right. Uh-oh. Be careful now.
You hear what I say?
Yes,
young lady, you just keep whipping up that batter.
Yes.
Keep whipping it up. Get it nice and moist. Get it just like put all of the ingredients that you need. You need faith. You need courage. You need to know that God is God. You just stand on that. When that cake come out, which is on Judgment Day, let it be well done.
Yes,
that's what we're striving for.
That's right.
And I'm not going to talk no more. But
no.
I just wanted to. I kept trying not to hit one. I said, no, I'm just going to listen. I ain't going to hit one. And Lord have mercy, when that woman come on, I said, I got to hit one.
You couldn't take no more, could you?
Take it no longer. I thank God for this opportunity.
I praise God for you, Lord. All my life growing up, you have always, no matter where we were or what we were doing, you've always kept me in check. You didn't bite your tongue, and I just praise God. You ain't biting your tongue now. And we just praise God for you, Lord. I miss you. I love you. And,
Same here,
God, for you calling in. You're something else.
I love you, and I'm gonna hang up so somebody else can get in there on this.
All right. You have a good evening.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. There come a time, and there's always somebody that just come in and just tell it like it is. And I tell you what, this is an encouragement to the sister that called before. This is encouragement to all of those that are listening. I'm telling you now, it is time. God is opening up the eyes of his people to expose the seat of Satan, not only in the world, but also in the church. And on that note of my cousin Laura's testimony, I'm going to take a break, and we will be right back.
Blog Talk Radio.
We will wait for you, 'cause all we want is you. Lord, we will wait for you, 'cause all we want is you. Oh,
we will wait for you,
'cause all we want is you.
I'm gonna go on.
Talk Radio.
Praise God. We are having such a good time in the Lord. We thanking God for the callers from the sister that gave her testimony and from my cousin Loris and those that are listening. We are truly being blessed by the word of the Lord and an encouragement from his people. I want you to be encouraged tonight. We had just got through reading off a list of identification of the Jezebel spirit, which the Lord had a problem with the church of Thyatira, where they suffered that spirit to take control. Now, before we wrap up our teaching on the church of Thyatira, we want to touch on the part to where many have a problem concerning verse 23. It says, "And I will kill her children with death, and all of the churches shall know that I am he which searches the rings and the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works." I've heard the question before where they was asked, what does it mean that he will come and kill the children? You see, to the church in Thyatira, he said, if you don't repent, if you don't change your mind, I will kill your children with death. Now, he's not talking about going around killing someone's children in a literal sense, going around killing babies. This is not what he's saying to the church. He's saying that because you have allowed the spirit of Jezebel and commit fornication with her, you produces other spirits, her children. Now look at this. I'm going to come on the scene and kill everything that you have reproduced out of an illicit relationship with Jezebel. I'm going to destroy all hatred, malice, envy, and strife. This Jezebel spoken of in Revelation, the second chapter, seduces the servants to commit fornication with her. When you commit fornication and have a fling with the flesh, you give birth to Adam's baby, so to speak. In other words, you would give birth to hatred, malice, envy, strife, and division. The children born from our union with Christ are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, and kindness. And so when you have a relationship with Jezebel, then you will produce things and it will become important to you. And what the Lord is saying to the church, I will come and take those things. I will kill it unless you repent. He also tells them that he is going to take her, Jezebel, and those that commit adultery with her and cast them into a bed of great tribulation unless they repent of their deeds. God does not delight in inflicting pain upon people, even on those who are evil or doing wrong. That's not his delight. Many times our own action inflicts pain upon ourselves. When we sin willfully, once we find out we're in Christ, we forsake our own mercy and a whole lot of other things that have given us pain are self-made bed and you have to lay in. Remember this saying, if you make your bed, you lay in it. God may cast some of us into that bed, but many times, the bed is the bread of our own doing. That bed can bring us into much tribulation. Much of what we suffer is a result of not recognizing that he suffered, and his suffering was enough for us. Jezebel was also guilty of idolatry, causing the servants to eat things sacrificed to idols. What did he mean by that? Idols in our present day culture are not so much about golden statues and calves that they worship, but it's not only, but it's ideas and people and concepts that have been adopted by the spirit of Jezebel in our midst, and we're creating idols and images and idols out of people. You see, this is very important. So this, we have to be careful about worshiping. And I'll tell you the truth. You, whenever you worship someone in the place of God, you are basically saying that you like the image that is portrayed and that is representing God more than the Creator. You cannot allow that spirit of Jezebel to enter not only just in the church. I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about the church of your heart, because you are the church. It's not only in the building, but it starts in the heart. A lot of the teachings have produced tribulation in our lives. Many such concepts have crippled us and caused us to be spiritually impotent. Look what Jesus said in Revelation 2:26. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. As we overcome and keep his works unto the end, we are given power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessel of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. This passage has many implications, ladies and gentlemen, past, present, and future. It's for our purpose. Remember, he said, I give it to you to rule over the nations. God wants us to rule over what type of nations? Our imagination, condemnations, and denominations. Those are the three nations that God has given us power to, he wants you to rule over. The imaginations, which is wicked, condemnation, which is wicked, and denomination, which is wicked. There are multitudes of nations that God will break with the rod of his authority. This authority is rooted in Jesus Christ and in his finished work, ladies and gentlemen. We must walk away from our fleeing with Jezebel. We must deny Adam and all that is produced from Adam. We must not allow the woman to usurp authority, that woman Jezebel, or that man Jezebel, because the Jezebel spirit is not gender, but it's a spirit. We must not operate out of carnal thinking. We cannot be like Babylon, who declares that she sits as a queen and is not a widow, which we'll find in Revelation. We cannot continue to give the people the cup of suffering. Jesus suffered and drunk that cup. When we see this, we will no longer be seduced by the fornication of Jezebel. We will be free to be married to another. And who's that other? Jesus Christ. We praise God for you, ladies and gentlemen, for fellowshipping and for giving your testimonies and for listening. We are fed through the word of God. I hope and I pray that you have been fed, because I have been fed, and I thank God for revealing his truth through the book of Revelation, because it is truly a blessing to those who understand it and read it, and God is revealing himself. If you listen to the testimonies tonight, the callers that called in, you would notice a boldness to stand for righteousness, not just only in the church, but in the world. The scripture did say judgment will begin at the house of God. Never elevate any man or woman over the truth of God. We praise God for you. We love you. and we rejoice with you. Next Monday, Lord willing, we will be studying upon the Church of Sardis, Revelation. Read your Bible and ask God for understanding. I love you and God bless you. Good night.
We will wait for you, 'cause all we want is you. Lord, we will wait for you, 'cause all we want is you. Oh,
we will wait for you,
'cause all we want is you. Yes, God.
Prayer that you pray is about to come forth in harvest. That's why we say, we've been praying.